Today we are going to look at the Word. Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to read from verse 9 to 14. And I caption the presentation today, Know Yourself. Let us pray. Oh God, we come to you, recognizing you as the Holy One. We thank you for the victories that you gave us during the course of this week. We have come to be encouraged by you, to learn from you, to be transformed, to be changed. We ask that you speak to our hearts. We pray for an increased activity in the work of the Holy Spirit. And may there be an intensity on our part to hear him and to surrender to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. It is important that an individual knows himself, herself. Not just the things that embellish him or her, but who he or she really is without the decorations. Can I say that again? It is important that we know ourselves as we are. Not just knowing ourselves on the basis of the things that we possess. We need to know who we are without the decorations. Because the truth of the matter is that all of us are very decorated people. We have not been to war and we have not received that kind of decoration. But in reality, we are decorated. We are good at decorating ourselves. We need to know who we are without the decorations. I am submitting to you that a knowledge of oneself is second in importance to a knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is supreme. It is primary. Jesus said in St. John chapter 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. So the knowledge of God is supreme, and second to the knowledge of God is a knowledge of ourselves. And the great philosophers of antiquity have argued that the greatest knowledge there is to know yourself. Michael Manley, in his heyday, used to say, man for know himself, or man know yourself. That was Michael Manley. And others before him, Socrates, they have spoken of the virtue of self-knowledge. The parable of the praying Pharisee and publican can assist us in knowing who we are. Do you get that? This parable it can assist us in knowing who we are. The parable was not intended for all those who were listening to Jesus. It was a particular group that was targeted, namely the pious snobs. It is what we call a churlward sermon. Look at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So that category of people were present. Jesus knew they were there. And in plain Jamaican parlance, in true word upon them, preach on them. The day like when Uriah preached according to Louise Bennett. It was very, very pointed. I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that piety is really obnoxious when it is attended by snobbery. Those are the kind of people, they were righteous, holier than thou, and so on. The parable was directed at them. But there's a message in the parable for you and for me who might not practice religious snobbery. Two men went up into the temple, said Jesus. Who are these men? One was a Pharisee, and the other was a publican. Now the Pharisee and the publican represent two extreme points in Jewish life. The Pharisee was a progressive guy. He was the opinion maker. They were the ones who upheld all the values of Jewish society. They were the promoter of the norms. They were the ones who were influencing change. Solidly Jewish. Focus on the Torah, the scripture, all of that. The good guys, the church goers. The publican, on the other hand, was a nobody, a traitor, the scum of Jewish society. He was dirty and sinful. He was hellbound. He was one who was associated with fraud and trickery. His devotion was not to God. His devotion was to Rome. The publican stood for treason, while the Pharisee stood for patriotism, devotion to Yahweh, honesty and decency. They were heaven-bound people. They were clean and holy. Two different men from different worlds. But Jesus tells us that those two men went up into the temple. Why did they go there? Jesus tells us that they went to pray. May I submit to you that people from every walk of life have a need for prayer. The proud publican and the proud Pharisee and the sinful publican, people from every walk of life have a need for prayer. And those of you who have come today, you have a need for prayer. You have felt it. That is why you have come. You have not come to show off anything, your achievements. You have not come just to meet friends and greet. You have come because you need to pray. And the temple, the place of worship where we are at, must be conducive to prayer. People must be aware that prayer takes place here at the Andrew Seventh-day Adventist Church. at the North Street Seventh-day Adventist Church, at the Kennicott Seventh-day Adventist Church, wherever people meet for worship, there must be an awareness that prayer takes place at that place of worship. And we're encouraged, as we heard Ella Murray spoke about a good outcome of the family intercessory prayer last week. The temple must be a place of prayer. The publican recognize it, and the Pharisee recognize it. Now, why did they go to the temple to pray? The Bible did not state it explicitly, but I want to suggest maybe two things. One, it may have been a weekly ritual. It was the Sabbath, probably, or Wednesday night, or Sunday night, and they're in the habit of going to church. It may have been that. Or it may be that they had some need that they wanted to bring to God's attention. And those needs could be many and varied. Financial problem, health problem, family problem, spiritual problem, whatever it was. They may have had genuine needs that they want to bring to God's attention. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no need that we have that we cannot take to God in prayer. Now let's analyze the prayers. The Pharisee was the first one to pray according to the parable. His prayer was relatively long in comparison with the publicans. He used 34 words in his prayer based on the King James Version, while the publican used 7 words. Let's read the Pharisee's prayer. First, he stood and he prayed thus with himself, or to himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, are even as this publican. What did he do? I fast twice in the week. Imagine that. Twice in the week, not just on Wednesdays. I give tithe of all that I possess. This prayer began with God, and it ended with his possessions. God, that's where he began. All that I possess. You are with me? It began with God. It ended with his possessions. It was a monologue of measurement. In that parable, we find the Pharisee comparing himself with others. I'm not as other men. I'm not as extortioners. I am not as adulterers, or even as this publican. You know, first he was dealing with ideas, extortioners, and so on. And then he became very, very specific, very, very pointed. He looked at one of his fellow worshippers and he said, I am not even as a fellow worshipper. How dreadful can we be? His prayer was also a report of his achievements. When we come to pray to God, do we come to report our achievements? That is what he was doing, reporting his achievements. Lord, I have, you know, I am this and that and that. All of that, it was a report of achievement. But all the long praying that he was engaging, all the report that he was giving, his prayer did not move the arm of omnipotence. It is as if his prayer just went to the roof and dropped on the ground. The publican's prayer, it was short, as I said earlier, just 7 words. It began
with God,
just like the Pharisees' prayer,
and it ended with his condition.
Let's look at his prayer. He said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. God, so on, all that I possess. They both began with God. The first one ended with the possession. The other one ended with the condition. God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. The publican's prayer made no comparison with anyone, and it did not report any achievement at all. And that prayer moved the arm of omnipotence. Jesus said, the publican went down to his house justified. The prayer of the Pharisee did not indicate that he had any knowledge of who he was. Remember my topic, know yourself. He was praying this grand prayer, and his prayer did not indicate that he had any knowledge of himself. He only knew who he was not. He didn't know who he was. I am not as other men. I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not an adulterer. But he was in complete darkness concerning his own identity. He had no knowledge of who he was. In fact, he was negatively virtuous, except for stating that I pay tithes and I fast, I engage in religious activities. He was just negatively virtuous. These are the things that I do not. And this is how it is with human beings. Most of us are negatively virtuous. That is why God speaks to us in negation in the Ten Commandments. So God says, thou shalt not steal, when in fact God really wants to say, thou shalt be honest. You're with me? Negation. It is negation meeting negation. It is negative meeting negative, hoping that some positive change can result. Are you with me still? So the Pharisee, he had no knowledge of who he was. May I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that we are not defined by negations. We are not defined by who we are not. People do not relate to us on the basis of who we are not, but by who we are. And God relates to us in a similar manner. So for instance, Brother Charles, people do not relate to you because you are not a thief, you know. They relate to you on the basis that you're an honest person. It is not who we are not. It is who we are. People do not relate to us on the basis that we are not liars, but we are truthful. And God relates to us in a similar manner. The Pharisee, the righteous man, the one at church, he did not know that. The prayer of the publican, on the other hand, demonstrated that he knew who he was. Listen to him pray. He said, God, be merciful to me. And who is me in this? I, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew that he was a sinner in need of God's mercy. And that was the basis of his justification. He knew who he was. And because of that, he could appeal to God in a proper fashion, and God responded to him. I say praise the Lord for that. Listen. Do not think for a minute. I do not think that it was an easy admission for the publican to make. Because it is not politically correct to admit that you are a sinner. It is not. And if you think it is, then just check your own history. People acknowledge that they are imperfect. I am imperfect. People acknowledge that they have weaknesses. I have weaknesses. People acknowledge that they have flaws in their character. People acknowledge that they have shortcomings. People acknowledge that they have defects. But people do not acknowledge that they are sinners. It was not an easy admission. But the publican brought himself to the place where he could say, God, be merciful unto me, for I am a sinner. Are you with me still? Brothers and sisters, the truth is that we are sinners. Every one of us. The lesson last week reminded us that all our righteousnesses are as filter rags. And I don't remember if I had said it in my Sabbath school class, Ella Reed, that if our righteousnesses, if our best is as filter rags, what does the sin look like? I said it. If our best is as filter rags, what about our worst? All of us are sinners. And the earlier we recognize this, the sooner will our justification come. I believe that the Pharisee had to make another trip to the temple to be justified. Or maybe several other trips, because he did not know who he was. And as long as he did not know who he was, he would be held captive to his sins. The publican recognized who he was and he appealed to God, and God helped him. May I say also that those who sit in judgment upon others and despise them as sinners must remember that their condition is similar to that of the people they judge. Why am I saying this? I'm anchoring it in the passage. Verse 9 of the chapter, Jesus said, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. They knew that it was okay with them, so they form a religious elite, a special prayer club. Remember the man went to pray and he had a prayer that all of them in the club prayed, you know. Special prayer club. A special behavior club. And others who did not match up to that standard, they were sinners. But we must remember the words of Jesus. We must remember the words of Paul too. That there is none righteous. No, not one. So, what lessons can we learn from this parable? The parable teaches, one, that righteousness consists of more than mere conformity to a code of behavior. Righteousness is being a beneficiary of God's mercy. All you need is to know the code, you know. To know the requirement. And we can do it with corrupt hearts. It is not difficult. It can happen. So righteousness is more than I fast twice a week. Solid devotion. I return tithes. And we should fast, Brother Baron. And we should return tithes. And we must avoid extortion and all of that.
But behavior is not the basis for salvation. It is what we receive from God. His forgiveness, even His mercy. So righteousness is more than that. Righteousness is also the possession of a humble spirit. You notice towards the end of the parable, verse 14, Jesus says, "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Jesus had a problem with that particular group of people. They were exalting themselves, even in righteousness. You know, there are some people, I've heard it said, there are some people who are proud about their humility. You have heard that one? People are proud about their humility. And it is also possible that we can become sinful in our righteousness. I guess that is why Solomon says, "Be not righteous overmuch, for why killest thou thyself?" It is God alone who is to be exalted, not our virtuousness, whether they are gained by avoidance of vices or by the direct involvement in religious activities. So you look at it. This is what the Pharisee is saying, you know. He is promoting his virtues to God. We can't come to God and boast to God about how good we are. Can we do that? But this is what the man is doing. "Lord, I am not an extortioner, I am not an adulterer, I am not..." What's the other one? "I am not unjust, or I'm fearing business." All of that. "I am none of that." So, what he's saying? "God, I am avoiding the vices of the world." And the other thing he says, "I fast twice and I return tithe." He gains virtue by direct involvement in religious activities, by participation and by avoidance. And these are the same things we boast about today. "Lord, I am different because I don't do that." Or, "Lord, I am different because I do this." We have nothing in us to commend ourselves to God. So it is God alone who is to be exalted and not our achievements. We must all come to a real knowledge of ourselves before we can receive mercy from God. God cannot forgive us of our sins if we do not know that we are sinners. I met a man some years ago in Portland. We were out as young men doing missionary work. And I met this man, and a holy man, of course. And he asked us of our mission, and we told him what we were doing. And the man, well, we had some discussion, and we reached to the Lord's Prayer about saying the Lord's Prayer. The man said he doesn't pray the Lord's Prayer. He doesn't pray it because there's a part in it which says, "Forgive us of our trespasses." And he doesn't have any sin. I am not kidding you. The man said that. And even when we said, the Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we are what? We make God a liar. He never believed that he was a sinner. And the Bible teaches that if we do not know that we are sinners, God cannot forgive us of our sins. The prodigal son was only able to return home when he came to himself. He had self-knowledge, perfect self-knowledge. Imagine, I am here eating rotten food, squandering my life with pigs, and I am a nobody when there is so much in my Father's house. He came to himself, the Bible says. And then he said, "I will arise and go to my father's house. And when he went, his father was there waiting to receive him, to forgive him, to give him a new robe, a ring on his finger, to have a party for him, to give him a new life. And I'm submitting to my fellow worshippers this morning that when we have a true knowledge of ourselves, it releases us to go home to our God where things are better. Do you believe that? So we have come to the temple today to pray. Whether you are Pharisee or publican, it is good to come to the temple. It is good to come with the desire to pray. I ask, how have you come to measure yourselves against others and to declare your achievements to God? Or is it that you have come to confess? Is it that we have come to confess our sins to God and to receive His forgiveness? What will your standing be before God when you return home, when you leave this service? Will you be justified or condemned? Will you leave the same way you came to church? Or will you go to your home different? The choice is yours. The choice is mine. And that choice is influenced by how we see ourselves. This parable makes it clear that justification is possible for all of us. And justification is when God looks at us and in an instant God declares us righteous. You are forgiven. We haven't done any good work as yet. Just like Abraham. Abraham believed God. That is what the Bible said. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Never did any good works. He believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. If we believe God, if we believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can go to our homes justified. We can go having a new beginning. That is what the debt of Jesus and the cross means. Know yourself. Because in that knowledge of self comes a true knowledge of God. Like Isaiah, finish it. When Isaiah had that vision, well, before he had the vision, Isaiah chapter 6, he thought that all was well. But then he went to the temple. It was to the temple that Isaiah went. And he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and seraphim and so on. And then he had a knowledge of himself. He said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I have seen the King. He had a knowledge of himself. He had a knowledge of those around him. He said, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people who are unclean. So he identified with the unclean, not like the Pharisee who distanced himself. So he had a knowledge of God. He had a knowledge of himself. He had a knowledge of others. And then when the call was made, whom shall I send? He said, here am I, Lord. Send me. He had a knowledge of the need of the world. And he responded. Brothers and sisters in Christ, know yourself.